Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it. So I just made the mistake of going back on TikTok. I had originally planned to block off this entire day to just scroll. You know, the last opportunity I get for it, I want to say goodbye to all my friends. How do you deal with loss and grief? How do you deal with things that just upset you? Do you just stuff them down and ignore them and bypass them? Or do you feel the feels?
Well, for the longest time, I definitely stuffed them. No, I attempt to let myself feel.
Yeah.
Let it pass. Don't want to go there. I know I probably still do on some levels, but it's not something I want to do. Just kind of face it. I've had a lot of great experience. Whether it be the constant moving, change is constant. And it's not all bad and it's not all good. And it can be both and it can be sad. You can spend time looking at the past going, hey, I'm going to miss this war. You can kind of like the predicament I found myself in this last month is that's up, but I'm excited. What's next? Yeah. TikTok, there's going to be something to replace it. And almost 100% of those same folks, you can find on other platforms around, whether it be long standing platforms or new platforms people are jumping to, they're there. I've already seen one in the different places that I follow. Just let it, you know, feel like, yeah. And don't let someone like me make you feel like you don't want to. And what I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, don't feel that way. But there are those who would say that. Because someone like me, I don't feel it. I know there's a loss there. I know there's a change there. But for me, it's normal. It's okay. It's changing. Something new will take its place.
Yeah. I always joke that if I were a Barbie doll, you know, they have like nurse Barbie, pilot Barbie. Like I would be attachment Barbie. I get attached. I bond like super glue. Like I either don't have a connection to you and it stays that way, or I've decided I'm connecting to you. I like you and I'm keeping you. And like I bond. Now that's not saying that bond can never be broken, but like it takes a lot. And when it's broken, I feel it deep. For anybody out there that's feeling like I feel, who's been ugly crying for days about TikTok going away, because to me, it's not just an app. It's not. I know that Jay here, he just got on TikTok. Well, you and I had like a, 158 day streak at this point or something. So that's how long ago you got on TikTok. You didn't have enough time to sufficiently.
You know, honestly, I didn't want it. I know who I am. I know what I am. It's those kind of things I can become addicted to. Yeah, copious amount of my time disappear. So intentionally, they'll stay away from stuff like that because
yes,
it's a rabbit.
And mine did. But is it really lost if you're
I just
okay
know
with
I
that?
Was wasting time that I was getting flushed there right. Where I could have been, you know, I could have guarded. I could have, you know, taken them out of the park. Instead, I was sitting there just scrolling, liking videos and scrolling. And it's great entertainment. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to be learned all there and a lot of neat people to meet.
See, to me, it wasn't just entertainment. I hear what you're saying. That's all valid. And I get that. To me, like TikTok, I signed up very early 2020. Pandemic had just hit. We were bored in the house, bored, downloaded TikTok. And these people became my friends, my family. I watched their babies be born and now I watch them go to kindergarten. It's like I was invested in their lives. They got me through some of the hardest, loneliest times I had. I've learned so much from them. My God, I've learned crafts and skills and talents and video editing and cooking and gardening. Like that's the new Google. Like I went on there and I like I said, would learn anything.
You can find and almost all of them elsewhere. But you're not losing them indefinitely. They're there.
I think it's a little different though. I do. You're right. There's still, most of them are still out there on, in some sense. It's just different than through the, you know, the whole political, you know, they were just, they were my people. I went on there and I found my people. And now I had to say goodbye to my people. So my point is, if you're feeling like I'm feeling about the loss of TikTok, it was not just an app. Your feelings are valid and it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to experience the grief of the loss of a community that you were invested in. And it's okay to be upset about that. I mean, certainly don't let it consume you, but you don't have to push it away either because other people, and I'm not saying this about you, I'm saying about life. Other people in life are saying, you know, it's just an act.
I didn't say that.
But like today I went to lunch with my family and a few of my family members are just like, I don't get it. It's stupid. But what are you so upset about? And I'm just like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel your feelings. So what are your guys' thoughts? You know, and then we had the whole Red Note thing, which was just, sorry, I'm like dabbing my nose over here. Sorry, guys. This is real shit. I haven't been on there in the last today or maybe yesterday. So I don't even know how long this is going to sustain before they change the rules or put a firewall in to separate the IPs from different parts of the world. I don't know how long that fresh state of being is going to be allowed to continue. But those first few days, they were magic. I've never experienced anything like it. I mean, I've said that it was kind of like the Berlin Wall coming down when I was either, I think I was a senior in high school. If not a senior, very shortly after, I don't know, sometime when I was in high school, the Berlin Wall come down. What year did that happen? Do you know?
Early 90s.
Let me Google. Please hold. November 9th, 1989. So I had just started my senior year. That was profound. The wall came down and people who never thought that they would have access to each other had access. You could get to know someone that you were like forbidden to communicate with, or that there was such a separation. And it was just amazing. I feel like that's what has been happening with Red Note. It's just been magic. It really was. The people have been so kind. We knew we were going to Red Note. Like the word on TikTok was like, let's all go to Red Note. And everybody was like, yeah, let's go. They had no idea we were coming. They just woke up one morning and their timeline was flooded with Americans. And they're like, where did you guys come from? We're allowed to talk to you. Oh my God, let's talk before they shut it down. It's just been a wonderful experience. If you had any experience with Red Note, let me know your thoughts. Do you feel about it the same way I felt, that it was just like a healing experience for humanity? You know, John Lennon singing Imagine, all the people, like it just gets me in the feels. It just hits me right there. So anyways, yeah, I try to allow myself to feel the feelings, ride the wave and let them pass through. It's when I hold on to them that I get issues with my throat chakra and with all those kind of things. Now, you say you are more willing to let yourself feel the feels these days, but how are you doing with being vulnerable about sharing the feels, like sharing them to other people or around other people? Or do you try, like typical men, to be kind of stoic around other people and just feel them privately? Shut the world up.
You know, if it happens, it happens. I'm not afraid to do it in front of people. It depends on what it is. And sometimes, like if it's shadow work or shadow, something element that's been hiding, it pops out. And if you're around when it pops out, it requires throwing a mirror. You're going to watch it.
I think that's great. Happen.
One of the things that I carry with me is there's some loss of some people. I didn't really know them greatly, but you know, it was tragic. Imagine being a part of a company and you work in this department and they work in that department. You're part of the same company, but you don't work directly together in the common areas, the building, and a bunch of them died. And so for a decade, almost two decades, I carried that with me. Is it was a guilt. But the guilt wasn't not feeling the most of them. It was, I didn't feel entitled to them, or I didn't feel entitled to mourn them because I wasn't
grief.
Their mother, their brother, the cat, the dog. I wasn't their intimate coworker. And it wasn't that moment that I finally to have that grief, to feel okay with that grief. And it was a good tearjerker session. And it happened on the anniversary day of that. I kind of fell out as soon as I got home.
Well, I'm glad that you finally came to that place of acceptance and giving yourself permission to feel that grief. Like, you don't have to earn a spot for grief. I think a lot of people feel that way, though. It pisses me off. It like hurts my feelings and pisses me off. As we've established, well established on this channel and this podcast already, like I am a feeler of the feelings, whether I like it or not. And I have faced some shame for that.
I tell you, because when you have a hard time feeling, or I don't feel like you do, it doesn't make it invalid. It just, you know, it's your way. You feel that.
Right. But I think that it's a common issue in our society, maybe worldwide, but I can only speak from my experience. I remember when my cousin Michelle had her first baby, Richard. He just passed away a year or so ago. Rest in peace. Michelle, growing up, she was more like my sister than my cousin. We were raised together most of the time. And she was my best friend. And when she had her first baby, I remember going to the hospital to hold the baby. And I was sobbing. I was so happy for her. I was so blessed to be holding this baby. Welcome to the family. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you. And my aunt came in the room and she goes, whose baby is it? Why are you crying? And like little digs like that is what I'm talking about. Like I think it's so common that, like, if you haven't sufficiently earned the place to feel the feeling, you are not entitled to feel it. I just think that's such crap. It's the same thing for what you were saying about the death of your coworker or your acquaintance. I get it.
I grew up, you know, thing like the day that you don't make a sound, don't cry, you know, that kind of thing. So you weren't alive to feel it.
And I think it's even worse for men.
We got grandma's dead. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. See, my family's not bad about that kind of stuff because to them, like, that's your grandma. You have a right to grieve. You may proceed. But like other stuff, like when my cousin Tom's son died, I wasn't super close. So like if I had been at the funeral blubbering, they would have been like, what's wrong with you? Why are you grieving? It's not your kid. You get judged for your feelings. The havoc that can wreak on your chakras, limiting beliefs, and just harmful, toxic thought patterns that get implanted into your subconscious. It's just no good. No good at all. So how do we combat that and like dismantle that part of the toxic culture that we live in and just, you know, reinforce to ourselves and other people that it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling?
You can work on you and you can try to help those who come after. What's done is done. I'm trying to fight with them. Like my father, my uncle, my grandfather did it. Yeah, they suck. Then it's gone. Then it's time to focus on the now.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, my little one will be real. And, you know, I tell her it's okay to cry. Eventually you got to pick yourself up and get going again, but feel your feelings and then pick out. Yeah. You know, I'm going to pick on any family members, but some of them, like they would just get into that cry and they would wallow and they would never come out. And they will spend the next 10 years talking about that event. I'm like, the event sucked. He didn't come up and down, like, but you got to get going again. You know, sometimes it's that negative influence coming in. They're telling us we can't feel that things. Then sometimes it's ourselves wallowing in it. We found a nice mud pit. And we're rolling around. And this is, now we got an identity, like, we can't do this. But you've got to pull yourself out of it.
Yeah. Or maybe we could give them constructive feedback.
You can say it nicely.
Yeah, because it's not sometimes, and this isn't a blanket statement, of course, but like sometimes, some situations, it's not a matter of just getting over it. There's a reason you're stuck there. So saying like, what is happening within you or where is the issue at that's causing you to be so stuck? What is prohibiting you from healing? And if they're like, I don't know, I always follow up with like, well, if you did know, what would you say? They always come up with an answer. They know. Their subconscious knows. But for example, I don't know about men because I don't have the male experience, but I know for women, if you've been cheated on, for example, and you decide to try to work it out with your partner, you know, the guy will be like, it happened 10 years ago and she's still bringing it up. She's still not over it. Well, she's never going to be over it and it's never going to heal until she feels like really believes that you get how bad you hurt her. If from the moment it happened and you guys reconciled, you've been dismissive of her feelings, you have gaslit her, trying to make her feel like her grief and her betrayal and her sadness is not valid, there will likely never come a day in the rest of her life that she will heal from that. Even if she goes to like years of therapy, it can heal some, but like there's always going to be something there. She'll never totally get it and forgive you.
It's, you know, especially being invalidated. I don't necessarily tell people how I feel because it's my experience when I do. Okay. I'm immediately the bad guy. I can't believe you said, like, well, you wanted me to tell you how I feel. But when I do, you flip it around and it's now a weapon. So at this point, I'm just like, I'll tell you.
It's a matter of pointing out to them that there's a reason that you're not healing from this and that you're stuck here. Maybe you should dive in either on your own or with a counselor, but like maybe you should dive in and figure out what that sticking point is that's keeping you from healing and resolving these feelings. Because you have to find a way to move on.
So deep, man. I'm using one particular family member. I won't really call them out, but it's almost become identified. It's even when they go to therapy, they don't go to therapy to heal. They go to therapy to get validated. Come and say, I told the therapist what happened when I was younger. And the therapist said, oh, shit. Like, you're not going there to get healed.
And there are people that, I mean, that is their plight in this life, whether it's disease, disability, a wound, a trauma, like that becomes their identity. Yes, I know people like that myself. And as a nurse, I've seen it countless times.
I went off on that the other day. We went on to four or five topics that pissed this individual off. And finally, I had enough. And like, life is perspective. Spirituality is perspective. There's two ways you can look at everything. You can look at it as this is terrible, or you look at it in a positive light. You choose to find everything that makes you mad, and that's where you stay. That's where all your energy is, where you could be thinking about something positive. What's positive? I'm like, well, think about it. Like right now, all I'm doing is singing along to the radio. I'm having a good time. I'm not thinking about what just got laid off like last month, or I had this problem. We all could find something to really dig into to really enforce that negativity. You have to choose that. You're making the choices.
And that's the important thing to remember, is that in every moment of every day, you are choosing your reality. Period. Every moment you are choosing to get better or not get better, to go forward or to not go forward, to like eat healthy or not eat healthy.
Like right now, so to be forgiving or not healthy, it is bringing me joy to think about it.
So jealous. Ugh. I polished mine off the other day. Was it yesterday or the day before when I was working so late? And I'm like, I'm getting ice cream and then going to bed. And you're like, that sounds valid. That sounds like the right plan. Yeah, it was. But now my ice cream's gone. Didn't get any more.
You should check your mail. Maybe you have some treats in the mail.
I checked my mail a couple hours ago. I didn't have anything.
Maybe I'm having a clear cognizant moment or a premonition moment.
I see that a package was delivered. Maybe I have while we were talking.
You can call my hotline number. Maybe I do fortune reading. Either that or I ordered something and I knew ahead of time.
Well, you know what? Thank you in advance if you sent me goodies, because you had a clear cognizant.
Had a knowing that I pressed
her. Knowing that she doesn't have any snacks. I need to hook her up. She had a long day. She needs some comfort food. She's grieving. And they're like, did somebody die? And I'm like, yes, TikTok.
Don't be sad for long, man. Something will take its place. There's always something. Very great grandparents just lost their horses. They really like those Model Ts. Eventually, something new will come.
The new will come along. I don't know how we got off on that tangent. We were talking about it's okay to feel your feelings. Don't get stuck there. Do the shadow work. Figure out what's causing it. Why are you stuck? We were talking about how that can block up your chakras and stuff. It can clog your pipes.
And then you'll need Reiki and prune juice.
I haven't, I haven't done Reiki.
Or is that my accent?
I don't know. It might be your accent.
Well,
it's Reiki.
You're like, getting that Reiki.
You rake the yard.
My chakras down.
Now, I know you're not terribly clairsentient, but like if you've ever watched any of the Reiki. Don't Claire shame me. That's awesome. No, I was going to say, like, when I did any of the Reiki videos that I used to make, like little shorts or something where I send out some energy, were you ever able to feel anything from those?
When I do, it's so weird to me. I don't place it.
That's sad. Okay. Yeah, because, like, they feel so good to me. Like, feels great. But I haven't done it in so long. I forget that I have my Reiki certification. I need to go back and get my master level. But then I'm like, why? You don't even use it. Would it make a difference other than feeding your ego to be able to say, like,
I'm worried about that one. I'm feeding my ego.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with ego as long as it's serving your greatest good. Ego's important. You wouldn't eat. You wouldn't get a job. You wouldn't comb your hair if you didn't have ego. You know what I mean? You wouldn't keep a decent house for your kids. You need to make sure that your ego is your amigo and not the opposite. Seriously, I don't ever use it. I usually forget that I even have that certification unless someone asks me for it. It's like tarot. Like, it's just not something that stuck for me or that I easily use. And so I just forget about it. So I don't know that there's any value in me going back to get my master other than to feed my ego.
A flurry would take the courses at different times. It just, I don't feel like you do. I'll go to the class. I won't feel anything. I'm like, that was wasted.
Well, Spomi just told me that you're a healer. So, I mean, that is a course you could take. Now, I don't know if you remember Nanette. She was the Reiki lady that I had. I did a live with her, and she also came to our group meetings once. Were you part of the group at that time? She was a guest speaker about Reiki. Anyways, Nanette had said that most of her gifts didn't come online until she started doing Reiki. She just was looking for a way to earn money and serve the community. During her Reiki training, things started coming online. And then she was doing Reiki on a patient or a person. I don't know what she calls them, a client. And she started getting flashes of like their issues or injuries or past lives. She started getting something like clairvoyantly. All of her clairs started coming online as the Reiki energy flowed through her.
Yeah, or these little plot points in her timeline where as soon as you do this, it triggers. So maybe they have to find, they've been trying to steer us to, and we've been missing for some reason.
Very possible. I know that Reiki energy is powerful, though. As it's flowing through you to get to the person, like, you get a lot of the healing, too. it wakes some things up. So I had a very cool experience during my Reiki training. This was for level 2. She was here for like 8 hours and I had to meditate most of it. We would do like an hour, hour and a half meditation. She would do some work on me, activating another hour long meditation, more work, you know, just all day long. And eventually I had this like, I wouldn't say it's an out of body experience because it wasn't, but it was like my consciousness was transported somewhere else. And I was seeing myself as what I think was an Arcturian, could have been Blue Avian. I was blue, but I was laying in what in our modern equivalent would look like as a tanning bed, but it was this bright blue light coming out instead of white light. I was laying in this blue light bed and I just knew that that's basically how we got fed. Like we got fed from the blue light and it was just really cool. That strongly came into my mind, my Arcturian connections while I was getting Reiki activated.
This is where it was from. Doing all these meditations, is it a guided with her helping you?
Okay, so here's some where of I it, struggle. Yes, which I struggle with, but the rest of them, it's more like there's a sound or a song playing in the background. And while you're meditating, she's blasting certain Reiki frequencies at you.
Well, as long as she or he, if I take it, I don't need them doing it. Because my experience, like when I tried the penis life regressions, people are truly talking to them. And if they stayed in the same tone as when I get there, maybe. But my experience is you get there and it's like, all right, you ready to start the session? All right, you're going to talk. And as soon as they change into that weird voice, I mean, you know, listen to me.
Yeah.
I started laughing and I started joking.
Back. Your ego's like, what?
Can you see the strawberries?
Yeah.
Like so.
Yeah. I think it depends on the person. The person who did mine, I haven't spoken to her in a few years. I just love her. I'm kind of sad that we lost touch. But when I worked at the hospital, there was a chaplain there named Brian. Beautiful ray of light. I always knew Brian. Brian is hard to miss. He's like, oh my goodness, how tall is he? 6'6", 6'4", like huge man, very loud, booming voice, loud, booming laugh. He's literally head and shoulders above anybody in the crowd and just smile as wide as the Grand Canyon, just ray of sunshine, hard to miss. So I knew who Brian was. Everybody does, but I don't think he knew who I was. So anyways, I was sitting in the cafeteria one day and this is where I'm like, how can I say this in a non-egoic way? But like at the hospital, it became well known for being like the spiritual person on campus. And so word of mouth would spread and like multiple times a day, people I'd never met would like show up at my desk and like I'd hear whispering in my ear going, I heard you're the lady that can teach me about spirit guides, or can you, we meet for lunch and you could tell me about meditation. Or they'd shove papers in front of me and be like, I printed out your latest blog post and I made highlights. Can we meet and like talk about that?
Makes me wish I'm just like, trying to reach for tricks to do cardboard.
Right. So anyways, they would do that like in the restroom, in the cafeteria, or stop me in the hallway, just everywhere. They'd be like, oh, you're that girl. So anyways, I'm sitting in the cafeteria by myself eating my lunch. And there was the main cafeteria, which was huge. And then there was a smaller, what they called the doctor's lounge. It wasn't really the doctor's lounge. It used to be 50 years ago, but not anymore. It was just a small, tiny cafeteria off to the side. So I was eating there because it was more private and people wouldn't bother me as much. Sometimes you just want to eat. So anyways, I'm sitting there. Somebody comes by and is like, can you teach me about manifestation, law of attraction? And so I'm teaching them a little something as I'm eating my pasta salad or whatever. And they walk away. I hear Brian from 3 tables up on the left. He has his back to me and he's eating. And I just hear him go, Abraham Hicks, law of attraction. And he turned around and looked at me. He's like, am I right? And I was like, well, kinda. And he goes, I'm coming to you. And he like gathered up all of his lunch, came over and he's like, how you doing? I'm Brian. I'm like, I know who you are. Hey, Brian. He's like, can I sit here? I'm like, sure. And he goes, I have been looking into these things. I have been praying for a mentor and the Lord has answered my prayer. Here you are. I would like to reserve your services for every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And we can meet right here and we are going to have lunch and you are going to teach me about spirituality and manifestation and the law of attraction. Would that be okay with you? I just dig this guy. He's such a nice guy. I mean, he was one of the chaplains, if I didn't say that. He's one of the pastors. And I was just impressed that a chaplain, Pastor Brian, was wanting to learn about spirituality, law of attraction. So I was like, yeah, we could do that. And he's like, all right, I will see you Wednesdays at 11. I'm like, all right. So anyways, 1 week, Brian says, I hate to do this to you, but can I bring someone to our lunch this week? I'm like, okay, are you expecting me to start teaching classes or something, Brian? Like, are we going to have an audience? He's like, there was a lady whose dad was in the hospital. I, as the pastor, got called to the hospital to pray with the dad. While I was there, I got talking with the daughter. We became good friends because she's just so open-minded. She's just really cool to learn from. She's so knowledgeable about spiritual things. So we became friends. We've been friends for a few years now. So I mentioned to her that I overheard you talking. And this is, I guess this was when my channel was brand new. It was a baby. And he goes, I mentioned to her, hey, I met this really cool girl at the hospital. She's going to teach me about XYZ. She actually has a YouTube. And I mentioned you. She goes, oh my God, I'm subscribed to her. I love her so much. I've learned so much. Could I possibly come meet her? And he goes, so your fan base is showing up in the cafeteria today and she wants to have lunch with you. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Thanks. I'm surprised I have a fan base. That's cool. Fan number one. She showed up with arms full of gifts and a money tree. And she was just like, I love you so much. Here's gifts. Her name was Anita. So anyways, Anita was just blessing after blessing. She's such a great person. And she one day had called and said, I have been led to give you free Reiki training if you want it. It's normally hundreds of dollars. And I was like, I would certainly be willing to pay for your time. She's like, no, no, no. I'm telling you. The universe has led me to give you your Reiki trainings for free and your daughter if they would like. So Amelia and I both got our Reiki training level 1 and 2, and she was supposed to come back for master and it just kind of fell through the cracks. We lost contact and, you know, it got postponed. Life came up and it's just never happened. That was how I got my Reiki training in the story of synchronicity and how spirit has everything worked out for you. You never know who you're going to meet and where. And you never know who's watching.
And that's even people you know. Sometimes because you know person A and they're always in this light. You just don't know when that light is going to shift for some reason. They're going to become a way more dynamic part of your life. To me, it's just completely unexpected. Yeah. Like you would never assume this person would take on a new role.
I used to work on one floor in the hospital and then I got transferred to like the floor next door because they had lost one of their case managers. So I went to work over there. Now, the nurse that already worked at that desk, the other case manager, she was such a pretty young, popular little thing. And I'm thinking, she's not going to like me. Like, what do we have in common? She's going to be like, all right, old lady. Yeah, all right, boomer. So anyways, I go over there and I'm just being myself. I have my bra and all my pockets loaded with crystals and people coming up to my desk all day going, can you see what my spirit guide says about la, la, la? Can you teach me how to connect? Can you help me with this? What's a starseed? And she's like, oh my God, what are all of these people doing at our desk all day? And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get used to it. I didn't ask for it. It's just like kind of happened. She's like, well, teach me what you're teaching them. I want to know. And I was thinking, there's no way she's going to be into this stuff. Well, do you know that she became one of my best friends on the planet? We call each other SB for Soul Boo. Christy is her name. And she soaked it all in. She learned how to use the pendulum. She started meditating. She met her spirit guides. You never know who's going to be placed in your path and what an integral part of your life they can become. Like you and I becoming friends.
Always. And I mean, that's what I'm doing.
But you had signed up for a coaching session a couple of years ago.
Help you figure out what's going on. I don't remember if it was seeing an orb or hearing a voice, or it was definitely one of those moments that kind of propelled me.
I don't remember either. You know, I kind of shut them down for the last year, so I haven't had a lot of them. But at that time, I was having a lot. Like, I was doing like 2 or 3 of them every evening. And especially if you don't know this person's going to become significant in my life, like, you don't retain a lot of the info. So I do remember you because I remember thinking, he's so nice. I really like that guy. But you had a coaching session. And then I think you had another one. And then you signed up for my membership and became part of the group. Then we started talking. You were like, you know, Jamie Butler during my reading suggested I have someone to talk to about this stuff because I need a community.
has a funny side story on that one. I never heard of her. And it was during one of the group sessions that, you know, one of the other members were arguing back and forth over the value of how much she charges. And if you don't know how much she charges, it's a good amount. I'm a common person.
It's a good amount.
I like a good racket. Well, it was the same time you guys were talking about the Akashic reading. And I only done that round too. But yeah, Jamie Butler is definitely a good experience. You have the disposable income.
Yeah. After that, you're like, she suggested I have somebody to talk to more about this. I tend to keep my inner circle pretty tight, but like spirit was just like, yes. And I had been thinking about it for a few times, and spirit could tell I was ignoring them. Like, oh, cool. I hope you find someone to talk to. And, you know, it was getting louder. Like,
we said yes.
and I'm like, well, if you need someone to talk to, here's my number. Feel free to text me. And would you know, we haven't gone one day without talking since. And like, we just became besties. Like, if I went a day without talking to you, I would think the world was going to fall apart. Like, where the fuck did he go? Something's weird here. And I've learned so much from you. You learn from me. It's just been a beautiful friendship. And you never, ever, ever know at what point someone is going to become an important part of your life and where they're going to come from. Like, sometimes they just get dropped right in front of you. And I think that's the best way, honestly. But you never know. You just never know. You're like, yeah, I have nothing good to say about you. Silence, crickets.
Nothing.
You're like, glad you feel that way, girl.
I did not mean that at all. I was thinking about the reading. Like, it's hard to hear a lot of times out of that damn.
Well, you were at Disneyland.
I just got off the Frozen boat ride.
Yeah, mine. I learned a lot. I felt really validated afterwards. And I have not done most of the things she told me to do.
A lot of it sounds good. I think my own doubt gets in the way. Like, one of the things she told me is use a recorder when you meditate, and you know, you're gonna start hearing stuff, or meditate in a sealed off closet and you know, like you can see a light show.
And you were doing that for a while.
It's kind of laziness takes in.
Yeah, she told me she saw like a half circle, like a horseshoe of 12 guides. She's like, it's almost like a council. And then behind them are several pillars, tall, like skyscraper tall pillars of light that usually mean angels. Or did she say angels? I need to listen to it again. I have it recorded. But she's like, and they're telling me you have plans to do something kind of big, but you have to keep developing first. And part of the problem, as we talk about in another episode, part of the problem is that I was meditating and trying to get my clairs developed and get my third eye open. And unbeknownst to me, I reached that point and then just like kept on going for the gold. And it's so wide open now. There's so much coming in. I have trouble being useful because I'm flooded with so much energy that I have to find a way to turn it off.
It's like, yeah, I'm flooded with fucking.
She's like, your guides want you to learn how to turn it off, find the off switch and like close for business, at least at night when you're sleeping, or like on Tuesdays after 5, you know, you have to find some time to just be off. And I haven't been very good at that yet. She said one of the other things that I need to do to help prepare somehow was to have like at least one day of silence every week. Now, come on. Have you met me?
I got to pick that day. I call it empath recharge day. Get everybody away from you.
Right.
And just do your own thing.
She's like, I don't want you to laugh. I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to sing. You just need to be quiet. You can text, but you cannot use your mouth or your vocal cords. They need to just be silent. I think having TikTok gone will help with that because, my God, I laugh so hard at some of these people. They make me laugh so hard. But no, I've not been able to successfully do even one day of silence, let alone one a week. I've never done one.
It's hard. Even when you're by yourself completely, you still make some sound.
I'm pretty good at it when I'm by myself, especially at the first part of the day. The problem I usually run into is my kids will call. I'm not ignoring a call from my kids or my grandkids. I don't remember the other things she told me to do. Oh, she told me to practice trying to channel in front of other people, like just turn the camera on and let people in the group guide the talk. But I'm too self-conscious. Right now, like,
put yourself in the,
I feel
in
like
the
I'm
zone
wasting
and I'm going to ask
types.
You some live numbers. Let's do it.
I certainly could. The thing is, I go in fast, especially like with all the energy I'm feeling right now, I think they were all here to help me film this and like to come up with the things we needed to talk about. So I have a lot of energy here around me right now. And I would go into that state pretty quickly. The problem is I have to like get over the hump. I don't know how to do that, but I get close sometimes. But yeah, if you get some lotto numbers, like
right,
I claim them. They're mine. I'll split with you, but they're mine.
It's fair. It's fair.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to roll.
There's no ones I don't play.
Got to stay ready. Can't win if you don't play. Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for hanging out and chit-chatting with us. You know, this is what we're calling our real shit or real shift
talking about today's events and how we feel.
Well, you know, these would normally be just our phone calls. I always told him, I'm like, you know, each one of these phone calls could be a podcast episode. Like, we're just shooting the shit and talking about life, but we almost always end up on like spiritual topics and things like that. And for people who don't have community or feel like they want to have friends to hang out with and listen to some chit chat, that's what these are. We won't be doing these all the time. You know, we're going to do a couple of episodes every month with like actual themes or topics or whatever. At least we'll try to, but at least one a month. Or, you know, if we have things to say, things to chit chat about, we're just going to let it roll, hit record, and just have our normal conversations. You get to see all the twists and turns and follow along. But thanks for hanging out with us. And if you have any comments or any topics, suggestions for topics, things that you want answered, questions that you have, you can text us. You can call us. I'll put the number in the description box and in the show notes. You can send us an email to saltyseekers@gmail.com. Anything to add before we go, Jay?
You're having a good week out there.
Yeah.